How do you go from a career in marketing to healing people from a distance, across a room, across the earth? You're about to find out. Now, if you enjoy Open Loops, you're listening to this podcast, you like it, and you don't want to miss an episode, make sure you follow this podcast. And if you really like what you're hearing, if you could please rate the show and leave a review, it always helps. We're about to meet the mayor of Soultopia. Marketing background helps, because you don't get to be the mayor unless you have a good campaign. Your unconscious mind is now tuned in to your favorite late-night talk show for the shamelessly fringe. It's Open Loops with Greg Bornstein. Conversations that bend. All right. Hello, everybody. Hello, everyone. Greg Bornstein here. Host, the person whose voice you are listening to right now. Yes, it's this voice in the voice in your head. And I'm sure the voice in your head has a pretty good podcast too. I've liked it. I followed it. I'll rate your podcast in your brain and leave it a review if you want. Yes, this is an interesting show. This whole Open Loops thing that you're partaking in. Now, I consider myself a cultural hypnotist, a consciousness disruptor, a looper, a curator of the auditory experience. And of course, you're here because, well, you want to expand at some level. You want to explore the hidden realms. You want to know more about what's out there. You want to dream. You want to fantasize. You want to be hypnotized, be mesmerized, be taken away from it all. Escape intellectually and intellectually escape. I'm here because I want to challenge your belief systems in order to do that. You see, the guests I bring on, they share radically unique ideas designed to stimulate your unconscious mind so you're forced to blow your brain open in a conscious way and force you to step into a higher version of yourself. Now, an open loop is just that. It's an unconscious provocation. It's what I did at the way beginning before the theme music started. Talked a little bit about, what's this topic about? Who's this person going to be on the show? And then, well, the rest of the show is completing the loop. It's filling in the missing pieces. But also, the topics that I choose are designed to open up new loops so you can keep expanding and expanding over and over again. Speaking of constant expanding, do you know the world is vibrating? It's all vibrating. It's all energy. You hear it a lot. You hear it in high school with theoretical physics classes. They start talking about it. But the old saying, if you think you understand quantum physics, you don't understand quantum physics. At the end of this interview, I understood a little bit more about quantum physics. And I also understood a little bit more about how they can be used in a way to help heal. Now, that said, have I experienced anything that my guest today, transformational coach, author, writer, speaker, Lee White, has experienced through quantum physics? Not that I'm aware of. She has a very, very profound story. It's a story that involves loss. It's a story that involves rising up from, circumstances at work that weren't fulfilling, circumstances familially that weren't fully there, but also involves love and very much, well, if love isn't a vibrational energy that's healing on the quantum plane, yeah, it's a very powerful thing. Lee White, I really enjoyed having her on. It was quite an interesting conversation. She really put her ideas well. And why is she the mayor of Saltopia? You'll find out. You'll find out. It's pretty funny. I like everything she's doing. I think she's a really interesting voice in the spiritual community, and just a great voice to listen to as well. So, hey, I won't hold it back any further. You're going to learn about quantum physics and healing today, and even have the opportunity to use quantum physics to experience change in your daily life. Yeah, we'll talk all about it. Here she comes, Lee White. Today on Open Loops, we have Lee White, coach, writer, media expert. She is very interesting story going on here. It started in tragedy, led to a lot of self-empowerment, led to writing a book, led to various careers, and ultimately led into the realm of my favorite kind of stuff here, spirituality, quantum physics, quantum mechanics, magic, all the things that, definitely make me curious. Lee, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Greg, thank you so much for having me here on the Open Loop podcast. It's such a pleasure to be here. And you said it so well, that journey to the magic.
Yes, yes. Do you think in your experience at this point, do you think you have to go through tragedy to get to the magic? What's your take on that?
Well, that's such a great question, because for most people to experience a wake up, we're given a lot of opportunities about what you can believe in the world. You can believe in the 3D world of what you can see and touch and feel. And then when you experience different spiritual teachers that might be in the form of a book or life experiences that you can physically sense or feel, or other spiritual kind of experiences that you have on some other plane, that will affect what you believe. And so for a person to wake up and see possibilities that are not able to be seen, or to be aware of possibilities that aren't able to be seen, that usually requires a bit of a jolt, I would say, because actually I can tell you why. In my 20s, I had an amazing opportunity as a young marketing person to work in a book publishing company. I love books. And the strange coincidence was that I was taking care of all of the books that are published by Hay House. So it was Louise Hay, Wayne Dyer, Deepak Chopra, right up there. Celestine Prophecy was
that
one of
our books. So weird that you are in that. Yeah, were you into that stuff at all? Where was your head at that time?
Yeah, open-minded, definitely. I was a real nature girl. I'd grown up, you know, lots of time in the ocean, lots of time horse riding. But I sort of I had a non-religious upbringing pretty much. And
yeah.
So I had that open mind, and I really believed in alternative therapies. I think my mum was quite like an earth mother. We had lots of herbal remedies going and that sort of thing. So we definitely would have believed that outside of traditional medicines or traditional religions was a way for us, I suppose. They weren't
hippies.
That's
great.
Yeah. And so with me experiencing those esoteric books, I definitely read the Celestine Prophecy and was totally on board for that idea that there's this energy that flows from us and it interacts with all that is around us. And I had Reiki sessions at that time. I'd gone through, actually, it's a different sort of turning point. I'd gone through a relationship ending. It was very traumatic. And I had a couple of, just like two, maybe three, I can't remember, Reiki sessions. And I thought, that's nice. And then I went off and did other things and nothing to do with energy healing.
Wow. Did you? Okay. So wait a minute. I know this is always what happens on this show. Things go rabbit holes that get down. I mean, that's the name of the show. That's the game of this whole thing where we're opening up a lot of loops here. Here's what I'm curious about right off the bat. Reiki, because you are, and one of the things you are now is you're a master energy healer. When you were going through Reiki back then, what was the shift for you? Do you remember? Did it actually work for you?
Yeah. So I was, I had a lot of self-doubt. I questioned myself. I'd been betrayed. So like life felt terrible and I'd sworn against all possibilities of relationships, but I still wanted to have a family and, you know, and so life seemed really impossible for me. And I went to my first session, had no clue what was going on other than I knew something about energy that I wouldn't be able to see. And I remember the healer saying, wow, you really know how to use this. And I thought, I don't know what she's talking about. And she just meant I could draw it into my body. And
interesting.
I did feel that very warm exchange happening at it, like temperature wise. I did feel that. And I felt so at peace. I just felt amazing. And I was growing or coming back into center myself through having those sessions. So it was very supportive, but there's no counseling conversation going on or anything.
Yeah, that's what's weird. Are you telling the listeners right now, and you can say it, Lee, I want to hear, I want these people to experience the truth. Can heartbreak, Reiki is a good solution for it?
Oh, 100%. And I treat women at the moment who, they come and they have a Reiki session. They don't understand what's happening, but their lives start shifting because I can tell them from my perspective what is happening is their energy is changing. They're unplugging from things that they were plugged into. And I'm just a facilitator. It's nothing really about me as a person. I'm just facilitating this shift of blocking and clearing different things that they're plugged into that are holding them back from a better relationship with themselves.
Right.
And when you have that, you're going to magnetize the relationship. Because I can tell you then, after I'd sworn against all relationships in my 20s, I can tell you how I met my husband.
Oh. Wait a minute. Is there something magical to this?
Oh, definitely, because when I decided I would be single, I just forget it. It's too hard. They are too complicated. I started having very, I suppose you'd call it some really spiritual dreams. These metaphors in my dreams were so incredible. I'm having these visions of just scenarios, not about relationships, nothing like that, about things changing in me. And within a month, like a couple of weeks probably, I just phoned a friend on a Sunday night, as all of you listening will have done at some point, and said, oh, I'm just having the worst day, because I was single, heartbroken, all of that. And do you want to hang out? She said, I'll come over, but can I bring my new boyfriend? You know, I'd heard about him. And I said, oh, yeah, whatever. And so they came over, and that new boyfriend said, do you know, there's this guy you should meet. And I'm like, are you kidding? Do you know why you're here? And
right.
And he told me three things about this guy. And I thought, there's only one thing that was interesting. He said, this guy will never let you down. And I was like, wow, that sounds interesting. But I didn't rush into meeting him. I avoided it for a while. And then when I did, we got married a few years later and we're still married today with a couple of kids. And so me going into, well, I'll tell you what the change was when I stopped looking outside of myself for external validation and I came into myself and aligned my energy with who I am and I took care of myself. That's how that relationship showed up for me, 100%.
That's interesting. How do you know? I mean, I always wonder about this. You know, this is... It's something that's talked about a lot. We hear healers talking about clearing blocks. We talk about awakening your inner self and empowering and being your true self. Do you think there's a point where you ever know when it's there 100%? Because I think it's very easy for, you know, someone to say that, oh, well, this experience happened and then I met this person, therefore I feel more of myself. But I always wonder, I almost imagine it's kind of like the gas at the gas tank. You hear the click, you know the thing's full. When am I going to be my full self, Lee? I guess is my question. When are all the blocks going to get released? Can I just do one procedure? Why do I have to keep seeing all these people after all this time? That's what I need to know.
I would say that with the story I just mentioned, the law of non-resistance, which is a spiritual law, and also applies, I guess, in the quantum world, where when you aren't focusing on the negative of things and you have no resistance. I didn't care whether I met someone or not. My standards were very high now. And so they could only be that or nothing else was going to matter. And so because I aligned with that, that higher level person is what I magnetized to, even though I didn't have them in my reality. That's what I was, without going into any detail, I didn't have any detailed thoughts. I just knew that it's not going to be this, it's going to be that. And so in terms of your question around, will it click and I know I've got no more blocks? How about this? This is a way of putting it. You will always be a match for what you're currently experiencing. And then if you want to change what you're experiencing, there could be some work to do to go to a next level up and a next level up and a next level up. So if you're happy to have a partner and a job and that might be enough for you and a couple of nice hobbies or something, and that's the happy life, you're going to be able to get to those. Those are very achievable goals for a person. And I've worked with people that have been addicts, people that have had horrendous divorces. I've worked with the full spectrum, and I know that those are very achievable. But when people want to do something that they in their mind think is incredible achievement, that's where there are going to be blocks in your relationship with yourself and the inner traumas that cause density in your energy. That's what's going to be coming up and needing to be shifted. Your body will show you. You'll get physical symptoms that will cause you to start noticing, why am I getting all these headaches? Why am I having different things in different parts of the body that will show us what's going on and what needs work?
Yeah. And I'm also very curious about your journey too. I mean, you, and again, I don't know how much you go into this in terms of your work when it comes to healing and empowering. Looks like you work with a lot of women specifically. You had a big tragedy in your life. How often do you bring that up? Do you feel like it really is important in terms of where you're at with quantum work and magic? I'm curious about your relationship to that story.
Yeah. So shall I share what that is, that story?
Isn't that interesting? I'm sort of approaching it from a different level, right? I don't know if I'm doing it from I'd like to think I'm doing it from a higher level of awareness, being like, let's talk about the story. But no, you can talk about it, because I'm actually, the story is the way the pain landed for you, the specific incident of it seems, it's different than I've heard of other tragedies. So yeah, feel free, go into it a little bit.
In 2006, I experienced really tragic loss of a family member very close to me, my brother, dying, and that came very suddenly and unexpectedly. He'd struggled a little bit over time, over his life, but never at any point had we thought that he would take his own life. So that was what that tragedy was, and it doesn't sound like in this moment we'll go into the really big details of that story, but it began a spiral. I find that energy often works in these spirals in our life, and it began this spiral where I took one step and then another step would lead me to another and another and another. And the first step was, in a few days after him dying, I knew that I wanted to do something about this issue in the world, and I wanted to stop people thinking that this was the best option. So that led to me going on to co-found a registered harm prevention charity for people bereaved by suicide. And then we did that for a long time, and it gave me a lot of different skills, and I grew through a lot of different aspects of self-awareness and doing meaningful things in the world. Because remember, I was like a marketing person before that. I was working with all the big celebs, all the, you know, doing all the things and thinking that was a happy life. And so what happened when this wake-up call happened, it meant nothing. Everything meant nothing, in fact. And so when I was stripped back to it's just me here standing here now, and life doesn't seem to support us, that those kind of thoughts were really what took me on a very deep path of what does it all mean and understanding the magic. Well, I in the months after my brother's passing, I saw him in our house, and so I had been very open to the magic of life.
I was going to say, when you say saw him, what do you mean exactly? Yeah.
I mean, I was standing in our front door with my very young son, and I had a completely empty mind. I was just, you know, if you've ever, you're really in that moment where you're not thinking about anything.
Yeah.
Front doorway. Did you say yes or no?
Yeah, no, I've definitely had like a moment where I've thought about nothing. And I'm just like standing there for sure.
Washing the dishes, hanging out in the washing, whatever, and you're not thinking about anything. And it was like he just came, no, it wasn't like, he just came up the stairs and sort of almost reached for me and was waving, like as if you're waving to someone and they're behind a window that's really dirty and they can't see you, you know, you're waving really hard. And I thought, wow, that was interesting.
Wait a minute. Are we talking a full, as if he was human? Are we talking an apparition, see-through? So you, okay, whoa. So you actually saw as if he was still alive, completely there.
Yeah. And a lot of things started happening. Now that we're going on this vein, a lot of things started happening. So our ceiling fans started turning on all the time. Now that happened in every house we moved to. So I knew it was always a sign, and lots of different things like that were happening for me. And I guess you could say that the path to become a healer and work with the unseen was, like that was a natural path for me.
Yeah. Did he have a thing for in-house air filtration, or was there, is there a reason it was fans? I know I was obsessed with fans as a little kid.
I don't know. I do not know.
That's interesting.
It's a really obvious one. It's a big one, I guess.
Yeah. So, okay, this is interesting stuff. I'm getting the pieces of this whole thing, Lee, that there is a, there's a big opportunity for awakening. I mean, it's always interesting that people in your position could have just started these charitable organizations, started making people more aware of mental health, making people aware of suicide, making that. But the fact that now you're in this realm of things that's a little more out there, a little more fringe, as they say. Do you feel that this was your path? This was going to be your destiny?
You know, the way I can answer that is the way that it's actually taking form now, because I've treated people for a lot of different situations. You know, when you start as a healer, you just kind of open your practice and people start coming, and they've all got different things. But what the common thread is that my voice is a big part of the healing process, and that's been a real theme throughout my life, is talking with people, holding space for people. I wanted to be a social worker when I was a teenager, and I didn't do that. I went to marketing and communications. So it's still about voice, because I was a media trainer for a really long time, and it is about voice. And this thing of my voice now, it is the thread that's always been there. It was about people having a better and inspired life. So that thing of where they know what is going to be fulfilling for them, like for you, you know, the podcast as a platform for you to be, you know, doing what you're doing. And for so many people, they don't have an outlet where they're expressing what their truth is to the world.
That is so true. That is very much what I am doing this whole thing for. I believe that there is room still for people to be a little weirder in culture. I think people are a little too put together, and I think our presentation of weird sometimes is a little manufactured too. I think things could be messier. That's why I think podcasting is such an interesting exchange of energy with people. What do you think?
It's all vibrational, yeah. Definitely.
Do you think there is something to be said about messy inner energy? Does it all have to be? I mean, you can get rid of the blocks, but do you want to keep some of the mess around just so people stay a little fun?
As in not striving for perfection?
I guess so. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I mean, I would say that we would try to, you know, that whole thing about a weird person's weirdness being, or their unique qualities being really too manufactured is comes down to such a basic human need. If you want to belong and you don't want to be rejected. So yeah. And as a quantum healer with such a traditional working background and traditional community and that sort of thing, it's definitely been a massive leap, you know, for me to how do I explain this to the world? And it's really important to find your tribe, as they say, and start with them and grow from there to where
you think. Go ahead. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt. We went into the silence. We went into the silence, which also is part of the void, the void where things are always happening. No, it's beautiful. I guess, Lee, my question for you is this. Where and how? Because you're so into the quantum piece these days. How did that come up for you?
I know exactly where this came up. So going back to my grief journey, I had received wonderful cognitive behavior therapy support through psychology in a specialist group that was for people with our type of grief that's quite complex. And, you know, we had that container to be and grow. And that got me to, you know, a place of having a lot more physical energy, being able to function in my life and having a place for the grief and all of that sort of thing. And then a couple of years later, I came, caught up with a friend who was going through a terrible divorce. Like, it was just earth shattering. And I said to her, you know, I don't really understand how you're so calm. How can you be coping like this? Because I knew what traumatic things were like, and it seemed strange that she could cope. And she just said, oh, well, you know, I'm just seeing this energy healer. I said, what do you mean? What's an energy healer? Like, even with everything I had known, I didn't know that.
That's didn't know that to me.
Didn't know a thing. And so she gave me the lady's website, and on the website it said that this woman did like a business coaching type of thing. Now, I wasn't fulfilled in my work. It had reached a point where same old, around the media type work. And so I thought, well, I'll go and see this healer because I'm definitely looking for, there's something more for me is what I knew. And when I went and saw her, the first session, you know, you arrive and it's this little old sort of house that she runs it from, and there's candles and cards, and it's all really drawing you in and making you feel comfortable. And so I just talked about it. And then as the session went on, the stuff about my brother really started coming up, and I said, oh, you know, there's this other thing that I lost my brother, and the whole direction of the session changed. And when she started doing the healing using quantum processes where it wasn't body work, she wasn't anywhere near me, she was sitting on the other side of the room like a therapist would, and from that chair using her voice and probably her hands as well, I mean my eyes were shut, but we did a process, and I could feel the density shifting out of my body sort of up around the forehead, and I thought, wow, this is really happening, this is so powerful, and a massive emotional release. So that was, got me a bit hooked. So I went back, and then I ended up doing the course. And that's when the thing about me teaching people to live an inspired life, that is actually where that came up. So that's, we're talking 2015. That was a long, no, it was way 2012. It was a long time. Oh, it was even before that. It was way back. And I got that really clear vision. And that's when I decided that I would study quantum healing, and then went on to go into advanced meditation and channeling and all of the different things that it's kind of like just the beginning, doing the Reiki and then quantum healing were just the beginning for what's possible for a person as a, I suppose, as a not a funnel, but as a tool for bringing healing through. The possibilities are kind of endless, really, aren't they? You know, there's no limit to what's out there.
I was going to ask, do you think there is a difference between a Reiki practitioner that does the job and does it well versus a Reiki practitioner that really understands the quantum healing piece of it?
I don't want to get all tribal and divide the audience, but I
feel divide them. Be controversial. Yeah, we want it.
When I learned about Reiki, it was all about Grandmaster Usui, who was creating that, facilitating or channeling through that method. And it's all about really being in honor of him. And I agree with that. But the Reiki energy is a powerful energy. But to believe that one, as a healer, is only channeling Reiki. Like I'm in my journey, it started so simple where I'm doing these particular sacred movements and things. And that is what was happening. But the session that turned me around was when I saw a client's energy leave their body and walk over the room to me. And then I sort of heard this as it was reaching out to me. And I'm like, oh, my God. And so I realized we are doing so much more in these sessions. And the stories are amazing because it's so different to when we're just sort of sitting there in our fully present conscious moment state than when we're in that really deep transformative energy. And things like that, you know, would happen. But with the client feedback, I knew that they were getting such massive shifts. And when people that have been in their lives, like I suppose their soul family, when they are showing up, you know that it isn't just Reiki that is coming through. It's other energies that want to support the client. It's a lot more.
This is so not American is the thing I'm taking away from this. This is the thing. You know, I had somebody the other day say to me that she refused to, she turned down this podcast. I'm not even sure why. I think it was because it didn't align with her brand. But then I said, well, what do you think my brand is? Because she is a brand expert. And she said, well, I think you sort of play in the realm of multiple dimensions and aliens, which is true to a certain extent.
Of course.
And topics that are too taboo for the most part for Americans. And that stuck with me because I think she's absolutely right. I think that there's something going on in Australia, and I've said it on other episodes before, about just being more open to these ideas. I mean, the idea here, Lee, that you are an author and a keynote speaker, that you've been in corporate crowds, that people are responding to this work, I think is, you know, I still think is a uniquely non-American thing. I don't know if you can be a public keynote speaker unless you're really, really at the top in America talking about energies walking across the room. What do you think about that?
I love what you're saying. And that person that you're talking about, I don't think they visited California or New York. And I lived
that's a good point.
I lived in New York for 18 months. And what I loved when I lived there was there were so many people from so many places around the world, and it was very open-minded. So that's probably why I felt at home. In Australia, you know, we have the amazing Aboriginal culture and community, where we are forever being acquainted with other connection to the earth, connection to country.
The elders, as I've heard them.
Oh, absolutely. Tribal law and things that I wish it really, Australians have a lot to do, work to do to really recognise the value of that. But that is very present in from my perspective. And I know that the woman that channeled the quantum reprogramming method that I use, she came from the US to Australia. Ooh. And that's where she taught a lot of Australians that quantum method. And now I think she lives in France. But I guess I get your point that she's not living in the US.
Yeah, see, we can't do this. I'm going over there. I'm telling you right now. You heard me, everybody. I'm going over there.
You better do
now,
it.
I just think my tribe is, well, I mean, there are tribes, and I think my tribe is actually there. So I am all here for the Australians right now. So I do love this country. I'm a big fan. I'm a big fan of America. Fantastic. Too. But yes, let me ask you this then. Let's go down into a little bit of the technical piece, because as somebody that very much loves the, I have a hypnosis background, Lee. I've hypnotized people. I love learning about it. I talk about it on the show a lot. I love learning about different trance processes and what gets someone in and all that stuff. I'm very curious. Are you able to break down a little bit quantum mechanics and how it works in the context of healing?
Yes. Yeah,
that's a crazy question. yes.
I'm terrible with science, but we have to have a way of explaining what we do. And I love the way that Dr. Joe Dispenza has created so much evidence around the work, because he, as an American, he had a terrible back injury and healed it through intentional work. He was in hospital, and through his intention and visualizing and really anchoring into that state of being before it happened, he facilitated that healing of his own injury. And I see that as being very much in the quantum realm. And what I would state is that when, as I've used in these examples in my life, of not as a quantum healer, but when I've made decisions about what's possible for me and who and what I want to become and how I want to show up in the world, it changes something in your energy, absolutely. And so going from that being a wave form of a possibility or a probability into a solid particle in your reality, that's where that quantum change happens. And in terms of the work that I do,
I want to know what makes this American turned Parisian method unique.
Yeah, so I can feel the vibrational exchange happening between myself as the facilitator of the healing and the client that is receiving that healing. I can feel the density become apparent and then move. And that's me being attuned to, which I think of being attuned as like having permission from the creator to do this. Yeah. And permission from myself to go into a realm where I'm not really going to fully understand what's happening all the time, but I'll have a sense of it. And that's one way of explaining it, where the person and I are sitting opposite each other in a room, or it's a non-local healing where they're anywhere. A friend was at a funeral, and I said, oh my gosh, that's such terrible news about your mum. Would you like me to send you a healing? She said, absolutely. And I did it. And I said, sent her a text and said, gave her the instructions on how to receive it. And then she just wrote back and said, I felt it. Thank you. And what have I got to say? It works. Yeah. It's vibrational. Yeah. It's like a radio wave. It's like someone broadcasting radio. If you're tuned into that station, you're going to receive it.
Yeah. Do you feel that you, in terms of becoming a master energy healer, does that require years of meditation? That's definitely something that I've heard. what's the shortcut to mastery? Give it to me.
Well, is there something? What I do feel is where the perception of wise monks on a hill being the people that can turn your life around, there's a lot of value in that, because when you do a lot of work around the study and philosophies of letting go of needing much emotionally, materially, and that type of thing, the more you can detach from that and be more aware of just being an energetic being, really, but not even having to consciously focus on that, but just letting go of all of these needs that you're taught to need and things that keep you racing and competing and forgetting about your truth. That's part of wisdom would come through doing a lot of meditation along the journey to mastery. Unfortunately, in the modern world, it isn't required. So you can log online and become a Reiki master. For me, I don't really get how a person's going to receive the value, the benefits as a facilitator of it without doing sessions. I mean, you have to. So I've never really looked into how those online things are taught, but to be in the trenches with people and doing the work, that is how you're really experiencing what's available to you through. You will widen your channel of energy as you go through the different levels and be able to kind of run more energy through you, which is where you know, you get the benefits in your ability to, I suppose, connect in with bigger energies and bigger possibilities for your clients. So I think that there is value in taking one's time with, you know, doing all the levels. And
wait, are you up all the levels? Did you get to the top?
With Reiki, I went to just level two, but with the quantum method, I went to the mastery level. And I haven't even gone to the top. She's got a lot more levels we can do, and it'll go into animal healing and a whole lot of other healings. But for me, when I started, it wasn't even when I started channeling, because that's another thing I learned, because I am an advanced meditator and I wanted to do that and see more and feel more and get more of a sense of things, because that's how I see reality to be. And what had started showing up for me was the tree energy and the connection with birds and animals, that like that was already happening. And so at some point, if I want to add more healing around that to my toolkit, I'll do those other levels. But
yeah, I want to know how powerful this woman is. I always think it's fascinating, people at the top. I mean, you know, they use in books, especially when I'm thinking of Carlos Castaneda and all the shaman stuff, they talk about people turning into butterflies and putting your hand up and causing tree branches to fall up and telekinetic. Yeah. I mean, okay, I need to ask you right now, Lee.
Yeah.
Let's get a little weird here.
Yeah,
what
sure.
is the weirdest? What is the most powerful thing you saw this master trainer do in front of your eyes?
Oh, they don't do any tricks or anything like that. It's all focused on us, and we're the ones that have to have these breakthroughs and that type of thing. And I think that like Alberto Villoldo and so many of the shaman teach me so much that is so simple. It's so much of it is around anchoring into the earth energy and that power, and working with, you know, if it's celestial beings or other light beings, as you mentioned earlier, and knowing that those are possibilities are there for us. Absolutely. One of the people I love reading and learning from is Denise Lynn, and she definitely mentions a few interesting things and talks a lot about shape-shifting, which they do in that capacity to manipulate their the way that they appear. And we, as people participating in the mastery level work, we would always just be fascinated by how through different processes we do things, like, you know, your eyes would become almost like luminous, you know, so bright and white and clear, because you're working so much on your energy. And just small things like that compared to shifting into a butterfly would happen along the way.
Yes. Wait a minute. I hope you can shift into a butterfly one day, Lee. That's what I'm hoping for.
You know what? I'm thinking limiting beliefs. I haven't tried to do that.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Don't limit yourself here. Who knows what this woman's course is going to go next? Wait a sec. So this is, okay, you are launching in August this first ever online group program using quantum methods to enable others to shift into living their ideal inspired life. Now, look, these are all these words. There are a lot of these words here, very hypnotic. We're talking ideal. We're talking inspired. Yeah. We're talking things that shifting, talking. I mean, even as I'm reading that, I'm going, oh, I feel more inspired. tell me this. What do you think? What to you is an inspired life and an ideal inspired life? What do you mean when you say that? Mm.
It's when a person knows that all of their growing up, maybe they just wanted to paint or they just wanted to be the prime minister or whatever that thing is, they then get sort of institutionalized into ways of thinking through the school system, which is very good, but the institutionalization of thinking, you're looking outside of yourself for recognition whether you're good or bad, and you're constantly being told not to do things and how to, you know, fit in. All of that is where these limiting beliefs begin and perceptions of what's possible for a person. So for them to live an entire aligned life that's very inspired, you'd be feeling a lot of joy, which I'm telling you, for most people, they do not believe that you can just be bouncing out of bed and feeling a state of joy and excitement about your life.
That is so interesting. Yes. Yeah. Let's mark that for a second. People think, don't even believe in the idea of living a life that's joyful. It's not even about experiencing joy. It's about believing they even deserve that joy.
Correct.
That is such a, how do you Reiki that out of someone? Can you? That is, well, I'm sure we're going to get to that. But yeah, that is, I think it's almost, it's a simple idea as I'm saying it out loud, but it's really not, because so many people are just chasing happiness without realizing how much of a choice it is to have the world view that happiness is possible for you moment to moment anyways.
Absolutely. And I meet people, now these are usually not my clients, but I meet people that say to me, and this happened and that happened, and, you know, life is hard. It gets harder. And I think, whoa, we've just got to stop this conversation. We're so on different planes. It's that type of, those type of beliefs.
Yeah. What do you do? I mean, you know, you've read some of these spiritual books. Do you have a spell for that? Do you put up an energetic shield for that? I mean, do you just walk away? What is the way to take on people's negativity?
Yes, I will actually tell you what I would do is I would not make eye contact, and I would turn my physical body 45 degrees away from them, because I do not want to expose my energy centers to that vibe, because it's a complete, I'm going to go all out here, it's a complete victim mentality that you cannot be the cause of the effect of your life.
I'm so sick of the victim mentality. I'm sick of it. And, look.
I'm really compassionate with them, because I know that there are parts of my life where I've probably believed that I didn't have power. And that's where that victim mentality is coming from, is they've experienced some trauma or brought it through from some ancestral thing where they give up their power, and that's their safe space. That's their comfort zone of doing that.
Yeah. No, that's fair. That is fair. I mean, look, I'm not a completely heartless person. I'm saying that to get a rise out of people at some level. But yes, I definitely think there is a, at least right now in the world, there is, because of things that people are actually victims of, ideologically, people have jumped on the bandwagon to find opportunities to be victims in every little thing, microaggressions, triggers, every sort of thing. I mean, people getting fired for jobs for saying things that just made someone a little bit uncomfortable. I think there's a difference between the real cases here, people taking advantage, and people jumping onto the victim bandwagon. And what that speaks to, I think, is the power of that energy force field. There's such, that darkness is so addictive. It's so powerful. I mean, I meet people that it sounds as if they've had the same talking points for the last 10 years about society being in the crapper and people need to do better and all this stuff. And I'm going, I now know why you're not. It doesn't seem like, I don't want to spend time with this person is what I feel.
Yeah, absolutely. We don't want to be getting into that, trying to defend or convert them or something like that, because it's their journey. And I hope that they wake up. It's when we have no faith in possibility and no faith as ourselves as a creator, that is such a lost opportunity.
Do you think, though, that those people have to go through tragedy to get over it? Or could it just take, for instance, what about someone that says, you know, oh, God, I mean, I guess, yeah, like you were saying, right? You were saying for a while that, oh, well, I'm not going to date anybody. I'm going to be single. Yeah. And then all of a sudden, I think there, though, there's a healthy difference. There's a difference between that and saying, and I'm not going to date anybody because every single man in this world is bad. Every single woman, person, whoever it is it like targeting a group? You know, what is... Yeah. Is there healthy man-hating?
A healthy what, sorry?
Is there a healthy version of man-hating, I guess is really what I'm asking here.
You know what it is. At that time, I didn't journal. And if I was journaling, because I've done that for a long time now, that's extremely powerful, really letting the words come through the hands, which are such a healing tool. And if I had been doing that, I would have been writing, I don't want a boyfriend unless they're like XYZ. That's what I would have been writing. So in my head, I thought I'd made a decision. It's going to be no one. But there was I was conscious of it, though. They had to be pretty amazing. And that just meant honest, authentic, fun, bit silly, and really smart. And so that was what was going to be the match for me, but I didn't consciously go through it. It was there, though. So to hate men is that is just a silly idea. It's much more like hating a shadow masculine way of being, which would be being a person, male or female, that is bullish, aggressive, narcissistic, and doesn't have a lot of compassion or centeredness.
This is a very, very strong point you're making here. So then when it comes to practically applying quantum methods, are you in this small group setting in the work you're doing now, are you teaching people to do it for themselves? Are you running group sessions where you're healing people? I mean, what's a good quantum daily routine, I suppose, Lee?
I can answer what the daily routine would be is awareness of where, it's such a simple thing, you'll love this, it's where your focus goes, the energy flows. So the minute you wake up, I'm aware of my thoughts. And if they are, oh my God, how am I going to get through today? Or the XYZ I'm dreading is coming. No, you know, it's about being very intentional. It's about being very aware of your boundaries around who you're going to hang around with, which resonates in with what we were saying earlier. And being aware of the need to listen to your body, because it's going to be telling you when you've done enough for the day, or that those type of things, which is different to feeling like you want to be slack and sit around. That is very different. I mean, I'm talking when you've decided you'll really try and crack at this evening and you're working into the night and your whole shoulder's giving out because your back is so sore from hunched over your computer. That is the body saying that's enough. It's very different to being slack, because I think some people get it wrong when they want to be intentional and just create a vision board and that's all just going to happen. I've got a great vision board story where someone that's worked with me for a long time rang me and she said, I've got to tell you about this. I made a vision board, like you said, it was a good time to do it in this point in the year and the astrological cycles and things like that. And she made her vision board and set an intention around receiving more money because she needed to change jobs and she needed to know her value, all of the things that I say. And the method that she did it using was detailed and really focusing on how she wanted to feel. And within a week, she'd actually not just heard about a job, she'd actually been hired and it was double what she was receiving before. And so That's what I mean. It's about taking action as well as being intentional and knowing what you want. And that ties back in with the story around me meeting my husband, where I knew how I wanted to feel.
Yeah.
And that,
knowing how you want to feel.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a big part of this. What do you think is the, I hear that a lot. I've never been able to piece it fully together, and definitely from reading Esther Hicks and some of the early stuff. There's when they talk about the law of attraction, there is something about emotions, putting your emotions out there. And why is that connected to quantum mechanics and actually manifesting this ideal inspired life?
Yeah, I think that it's going back to that concept of taking the wave into the atom as a wave into a solid, you know, particle in your reality. So you want to be aligning with that in your state of being and not resisting that state and telling yourself I'm not worthy and all of that sort of thing. Instead, you're going to be like, I'm 100% worthy and I'm so excited. I want to feel it like it's happening right now. That would be very Esther Hicks, and that totally works. But you've got to unpack the limiting beliefs underneath it, because there'll have been things over our wonderful long lives where people have said things and done things or things haven't worked out. And this is where the brain will get in the way, because it will look for the evidence of when you tried it last time. And it may not be good evidence. So there's clearing, and I do a lot of quantum work around clearing limiting beliefs.
Yeah.
I don't know what they are first. They're often hidden.
Here's my question. How much of living an ideal inspired life is just clearing away limiting beliefs?
Well, you're not going to believe the life is possible for you to have freedom and joy unless you do the work to work out how you're going to get from today to that state. And that will involve taking action steps. And if those action steps feel like they're not possible for a person, then that's where the work is, definitely.
Because, I mean, I guess I'm wondering, you know, I'm imagining this this onion, I guess, is the metaphor, though, I can't be using a shred metaphor here. I need to come up with something clever. I guess...
Beautiful. It's perfect.
Well, I guess I'm wondering this. Do you think that, and this is something I wrestled with for a long time in my life, I was trying to figure out, do I need to create the vision for where I want to go? Like I had a big attachment for a long time of creating the vision of my life, because I had all these disparate interests and I couldn't really put it all together, and there were different career paths and I couldn't do it. And then, eventually this podcast became birthed out of my various interests and my desire to have deep conversations with people and all that stuff. But it took a while to get there, as well as sorting through limiting beliefs. And I guess I also wonder how often is the vision just already there? Is the ideal inspired life already inside of someone and you need to just peel open the onion? Or is there still a active creator part that, do you need both things? In your experience, how many people know exactly what they want to be doing and it's blocked with limiting beliefs versus you need to kind of give them you still need to give them the paintbrush a little bit in the paints so they know where to go. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, a lot of people in the quantum way of thinking would be stating that possibility already exists for you on a different timeline, and collapsing timelines is what we do through the limiting belief clearing, because when you don't believe something anymore that was limiting, you're going to start behaving in a different way and aligning with that new timeline. And so that's why doing the work around, let's say there are 10 limiting beliefs that need to be cleared. We don't know that number when you're beginning or going through it. Each one is going to be taking you to your next, you could call it a micro level of getting closer to the version of you that's the ideal scenario that resonates with how you want to feel and be and what you want to experience and, maybe it's that soul's journey that you came here to experience.
So in other words, it could be, well, I mean, I guess you kind of answered, I was kind of thinking it's the Schrodinger's cat thing. Maybe it's both. You have to clear the beliefs, but at the same time, you have to create. And also, both things are happening simultaneously. But if you focus too much on one, then you're not paying attention to the other one happening in the background.
Yeah,
too.
That's right. So if you just kept on reciting your affirmations and not taking any action, how can it manifest? And if you didn't do the limiting belief work and you kept reciting the affirmations, the brain is not going to accept those at that subconscious level. It's not going to actually, when you do the work at that more subconscious level, it's going to be creating or attracting and magnetizing those experiences in your life that match the belief. So people that have been traumatized and don't trust life and feel safe are going to keep having those negative relationship experiences until they change from within.
Do you ever keep opening the package and find another one wrapped under there?
I
bet you have to do it all the time. Have you ever had someone where you're just go, oh my gosh, there's another one, and there's another. Look, this course, this 12 week, you need the 24 week course, buddy.
It'll just be a great sort of a sacred container for people to do the work to show them, you know, what their next thing is. And there are definitely more opportunities over time, you know, for people to be working with me. But this one is exciting because it's a group container where I've done a huge amount of one-on-one work and had some small groups, but this one will be a bigger group. And when we are put into groups, what's fascinating is we will kind of be attracted to different people that, you know, resonate with us, and we learn and get so much insight from those in that community. It works so well.
Yeah, that is so cool. And you also have this, we're going to link to this free quantum process that, can you talk a little bit about this? It seems very interesting. You click on this thing. It's, have you ever wondered how you can turn a bad day around? How did you stumble upon this?
So I already had all my quantum toolkit, and I experienced something that by my standards was a smaller kind of setback. And it was really grieving a pet having had an accident. And I, the following day, really felt very triggered and really like so flat, like I'm going to have the worst day.
Yeah.
But I'm not really allowed to stay in that energy by my standards. So I was like, right, okay, what do I need to do? And so the tools that I used that day, I thought, well, everyone needs to know. I felt so amazing after I'd done it. And I thought, everyone needs to have this toolkit. This is ridiculous. Because often when we've had a real shock, we will stay with that till it naturally moves out of us, or we forget the pain and that, you know, a healing some level happens naturally. But this one is one that you can use and just move it, shift it, get it out there and come back to your calm and clarity, which is where we should be existing.
Yeah. Wait a minute. You know what? I want to know, what would you do if you went back into the marketing and branding world?
Yeah.
Could you make it a little more quantum? How would you heal the marketers? How would you heal the corporate space? I'm curious.
Well, what I do with people that are working in corporate is they have a stack of limiting beliefs about many things. It can be simple things like speaking up and, you know, in meetings and things. And that will always, I know that there's going to be other layers to that. It's not really about what is going on at work. It's other stuff underneath that's causing them to feel those limitations. But as a quantum healer or a Reiki healer, you can do intentional work on a much bigger scale, like a Buddhist monk would do their sangha and be sending intentions for all sentient beings. You can do that kind of work that is, you know, healing the world. Like you see worldwide meditations as well. We all can work on that vibrational level. So if I was just working as a marketing manager, I'd be doing lots of healings on my wonderful team and that kind of thing.
Yeah. Do you think it goes, I mean, is there, this is the dark side. Let's get into the dark side of the corporate world. Is there anything that is a little, you know, anti-peace and love going on here? I mean, in the sense that when you're marketing, You have to think about the it is what we were talking about before. It does have to be a little more tight. The message has to be perfect. You're promising a dream here.
Yeah.
And oftentimes people are playing into people's lower vibrations, victimhood and whatnot. I mean, what would a higher dimensional version of marketing be? Can marketing ever really ascend? I guess that's what I need to know,
Lee. Yeah. I believe that every message is going to resonate with the people that match that. And so when we think about brands that are really very conscious brands that are running projects to plant trees for everything you buy and those sort of things, those marketing messages might reach people. But what I know when you talk about if someone's really sort of quantum, I think what can be very powerful is what I experience when I'm channeling is a message will be very, very succinct, but it will have a lot of layers and different people hear it and it's very impactful. And that's where taking the human that tries to include everything out of, taking the human out of it and just letting the channel give that message, that is very powerful. But they're not going to make sense. They're going to be so brief. It could be less than 5 words to say something really complex.
Yeah.
And, those come through at all sorts of times. And so one I recall was about, I suppose, goals and that type of thing and where you want to be. And it was the arrow never doubts. And I thought, God, that's so true.
Oh.
Goes. It's going for that target. And those types of messages, I mean, that one was actually quite long. it resonates so much because people will have their own little stories about that arrow or what that journey is and doubt and that type of thing. It's just an example.
That's amazing. Mm-hmm. Well, look.
Questions. It's amazing where we've been in this discussion.
I know we're going all over the place. It's been quite a journey so far. And I mean, look, if we, you know, I know I asked you earlier about the relationship to your pain and the thing going on, because I just, you know, I don't, I imagine you must talk about the suicide a lot in your keynote speeches. How could you not?
Well, I was the president of our registered harm prevention charity. And so I spoke for Are You Okay Day, that movement. I spoke for suicide prevention and for our bereaved community. And I've done heaps of work. I've spoken at universities and like two mental health practitioners that want to know what a bereaved person experiences. So we have to tell them about like what it's like on that day when you hear the news and the police and the whole thing and go through all the details of it. And then what the grief journey is like, at what point did we start to feel like a light was coming back into our lives and what was helpful. I talk about all of those things. Absolutely.
Did the other ladies who started this with you, are they as into this magical stuff as you are?
let me think. I think that all of them are. It's funny. They're open to it. None of them have studied to become healers. One is a coach, and all of the others are certainly very spiritual. Yeah, it's interesting. I think that grief is one of those things, and maybe divorce as well. No, illness is all of those big ones that devastate you, bring you back to spirit, definitely.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Well, look, everybody, you have to check out Lee White. I mean, we're going to link to this Changing the Bad Day, quantum, the free quantum process, as well as you got to check out leewhite.com.au. Tons of great resources there. Book an appointment. And then you've got Soultopia, which is this, that's the name of this membership coming up.
No, that's not the name of that. That's another free community that I've had for quite a while where our people that are interested in the work can join that one.
Soultopia sounds like a theme park I want to go to.
Pardon?
I want to go to Soultopia. Soultopia sounds like an amusement park.
Yeah, I know. And these names and things, they just come through. And I'm like, that is what needs to be put out there, because this new program that I'm going to be offering, it is very much that thing of it being a playground where people are experimenting with what they're creating. Definitely. It's funny that you mentioned the amusement park.
Yeah. I don't even know. What is the person that created an amusement park? Are you the mayor of Soultopia? I guess I should ask you that.
That's right.
Oh, wow. I got to interview the mayor of Soultopia. What an honor. Yeah. No, this would be great.
Thank you so much for having me here. It's been amazing being able to talk about. I'm going to tell you, I have not talked about a lot of things that I've talked about today. It's really wonderful.
Oh, good, good. Well, thank you. I am so happy you shared this with you. I'm fascinated by your journey. I'm fascinated by how inherently magical you are. it just seems a lot of things lined up here. And I definitely, everybody check out Lee White, author, speaker, transformational coach, master energy healer, and of course, mayor. Yes.
Thanks so much. It's been wonderful to be here on your platform, Open Loop, where we can be magic, and it's a place where it's safe for us to be magic. I love it. Thank you.
I love it. Thank you.
A place where it's safe to be magic. You know what? That was such a kind thing to say. That's the goal. Life is a lot more magical when you embrace the weird and what's out there. Lee White, thank you for your kind words. Thanks for coming on the show. And thank all of you for being magical with me. We'll talk soon, everybody.